This is Bustin' Loose Baseball with Grant and Danny. Interviews, analytics, and analysis on everything baseball in the nation's capital.
Next item on the to-do list. Davey Martinez told reporters before the, I think it was the doubleheader on Tuesday.
Tuesday night, yeah.
So the penultimate day of the season, that he plans on bringing his entire staff back. That's pitching, that's hitting, that's base coaches, everybody. You know, I haven't done enough digging yet, to be frank, as maybe I should, but just anecdotally speaking, I'm not a big Jim Hickey guy with a young pitching staff. I don't think their young pitchers got better this year, specifically Josiah Gray. I don't think you've seen development. This is a issue, frankly, in the organization for many years, but you know, specifically this year, Jim Hickey's a longtime pitching coach. You've seen him with the Cubs with some veterans, the Rays with some veterans. Fine enough job. You know, pitching coaches, hitting coaches in general are more there to, you know, tell you, hey, I think you're flying open or try this. I mean, they're not cure-alls, right? This is not the fixer that everyone thinks probably. But I do think you have a really nice opportunity with all this young arms they're going to be developing to go get a fourth anchor, you know, to go get someone. It doesn't have to be, you know, someone who works for Kyle Bodie at Driveline necessarily, but I mean, you see a bunch of teams going to like Vanderbilt and grabbing pitching coaches, or you know, these baseball factory schools around the country where people have been developing young arms for years that get drafted in the first round. That's what I want to do. I want to be on the cutting edge. I want to go to, you know, this one of these pitching warehouses where everyone's into the Edgetronic cameras and the Rapsodo machines and go get some 32-year-old guy who fizzled out in the minor league 6 years ago who's now a pitching savant. They don't seem interested in that. They've gone the opposite, you know, over the years. I can't even remember the guy's name from the Cardinals who they fired in season. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. The army of pitching coaches.
Damn, I'll think of his name in a second.
Not Mike Maddox, but
no,
other guy.
This was just a few years ago. But he came over from St. Louis. They fired him a few weeks in. Then they promoted their own pitching coach from the minor leagues. And, you know, it's just kind of been like lifers, one after another. It's just not the way I would go with this. You know,
Derek Lilliquist,
exactly right. And they blew out Lilliquist a couple of weeks into the season, who was kind of similar, in my opinion, to Hickey, just like an old school, you know, yell from the dugout kind of guy.
We spoke to a player.
I want to go in a different direction.
Yeah, you remember we spoke to a player during that Lilliquist time where that player ended up being the people's best pitching coach. Like, he would notice stuff that the coach wouldn't, because the coach is, bulldog out there, ice your arm when you're done, run a pole. Right, and he's the guy that's noticing this mechanical thing or this tell or this grip or whatever else. And a lot of times these guys, it was a veteran rotation, veteran bullpen, veteran everything. They were their own kind of best, you know, critics or fixers or whatever. So I'm with you. Generally, the metrics here for success for a coaching staff, we're used to, you know, 90 plus wins. We're used to, you know, hopefully having a great tactician come postseason time. You know, don't see Matt Williams or Dusty Baker for that. But for this team, what were the metrics that we're looking for success? Development of young players. Anybody feel like we got that? Did anybody feel like as the season went, Luis Garcia's swing discipline got better? Did anybody feel like, you know, I don't know, Victor Robles figured out anything at any point in time? Did Josiah Gray still fly open and miss arm side up and out constantly when he wasn't going well? Yeah. So, again, you never know. If you're playing young kids, sometimes that's what's just going to happen, period, end of story. Sometimes it's the coaching's not doing the job. You never know where to play the lion's share of the blame if you're making a delicious plain pie. To me, I would have a hard time just re-racking it. That's how I feel about it.
As a general rule, like you can't say, oh, you lost 100 X amount of games. You got to do something different. But it was the way they lost. Their base running was terrible. Their fielding was mostly bad. Like, yes, you can be bad with a bad collection of players by design, but it was kind of like worse than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and again, this is more of a feel thing than a data point thing, right? Because let's say this group was maximized. Everything was perfect. Everybody performed to their optimal. They still lose 95, 96 games. You know, they're still at the bottom of this division, towards the bottom of the league.
But who
and
got
else.
A lot better as and the year went on?
That's kind of what I'm. That's what I'm trying to hammer here, GP. Is I know I'm kind of plucking out examples, but your veterans, your Carl Edwardses had their renaissance years. Your I know your Kyle Finnegans, your Tanner Rainey's guys were okay. Your
Rainey's been hurt all year.
Well, you know what I mean. Like when he was pitching, he was pretty good. I guess what I mean is the key to this phase that we're in right now is, can you see the light at the end of the tunnel for all these young kids that are coming up here getting their teeth kicked in at the major league level, right? Can you see development? Can you see a situation where Victor Robles is the prince that was promised? Can you see a guy at the top of the order stealing 30 bags, playing great defense in center field, hitting 16 to 20 homers and being a force? I certainly can't.
Is that
his fault, or is it they haven't developed him? I don't know.
What player under like 28 exceeded expectations, I guess would be my question, you know, this year? Or made leaps and bounds improvements as the year went on. I don't specifically take issue with any one coach. I mean, philosophically speaking, again, I would go in a different direction with the pitching coach spot, because I would just be doing something completely different. I would go to Tennessee right now, where everyone throws 105 and where they got all kinds of unique programs.
You go to a JC where guys that are left over are throwing 100.
Right. And I would say, hey, pitching coach for the Volunteers, you're now my pitching coach. You know, I would just be doing, you know, I would go to Driveline and say, all right, who's your biggest genius that's not named Kyle Bodie? Come with me. That's kind of how I'm thinking about this thing at this point. But Tim Bogar, the bench coach, is what, you know, he's fine in his role. He and Davey get along very well, good relationship. Darnell Cole's their hitting coach. And then Jim Hickey, the pitching coach. At first base, EY Jr., you don't really notice first base coaches a ton. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on that. I will say at third base, you know, for years we talked about how many guys they got thrown out at home because Bob Senley.
Oh, Bob Senley.
Real name Bob Henley, but we called him Bob Senley, would just get guys thrown out at the plate. I mean, anecdotally, I think DeSarcina was just as bad or worse. I mean, they got a ton of guys thrown out at home plate over the course of the year. But just to run it back is really interesting, and maybe it won't be that way. I mean, Davey said he's going to bring all the staff back. You know, it might not be entirely up to him. You know, he was asked, and he says, yeah, I'm bringing my guys back. Maybe Rizzo or someone with
maybe there's a convo. Yeah.
Steps in and goes, hey, I know you said you wanted to bring them back.
And especially if there's new ownership, Grant, sorry to cut you off, but if that may be an organizational edict. That may be we're going to send a message to the fan base that this is not going to be tolerated. Something like that. You may have one of those, you know, type ownership groups come in. We don't know. It's a good point by you.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, how about Steven Strasburg? Why don't we get into him for a second? They don't know what's going to happen with Steven Strasburg in 2023. It doesn't sound like Strasburg knows what's going to happen in 2023. I'll read a couple of quotes here. Some of these made national attention via the AP. Mike Rizzo, talking about Strasburg, said, it's still a bit of a mystery. I know that he's working hard, strengthening his core and the other parts of his body. We're just going to have to see. With the type of surgery and rehab that he's had, it's unfamiliar to us. It's unfamiliar to a lot of people. We're going to have to take it day by day. Strasburg's 34 years old. He's thrown a total of 31 innings and made 8 starts over the past 3 years since being the hero of the World Series run and winning World Series MVP and getting a 7-year, $245 million contract, which he'll be going into year 4 of that deal next year. Another quote from Rizzo, we'll have to see where the rehab process takes us later on in the winter. We're going to monitor him. He's local, so we'll see him all the time, and we'll see where he's going into spring training mode. I would just love somehow, some way, for Stras to come forward and say, hey, guys, I'm going to go my separate way here. It's been a good run. Just from a financial standpoint, it would benefit the team. But that's obviously up to him. He's earned the right to do whatever he wants. He's had a hell of a career, a 3.24 ERA for his career. I think he's you know, close to 50 games over 500 in his career as well, for win-loss people out there. And again, without him, they don't win the World Series. So do you, man, whatever it is that you want to do. Eat some delicious steaks in Tyson's Corner and, you know, rehab. But
yeah, I'd show up once a month, jog pole to pole, you know, do go through the motions for $35 million a year. Anybody that says they wouldn't, good for you, I suppose. But yeah.
But it's just got to be a little bit of a pain in the ass for him at this point, I would think.
Sure. It's no fun.
I mean, to be rehabbing all your life.
You want to pitch, but yeah.
So think about it. It's basically two and a half, maybe even 3 years in a row where he's just been rehabbing to pitch without any of the fun or the results that he wants.
It's painstaking and it stinks.
Yeah.
But again, it's made easier by a paycheck with so many commas and zeros. I'll say this. When you hear words, we're talking medical stuff like mystery, and we'll just figure it out day to day and hope, ominous at best. Think about the way they outline it. And they caught a ton of flack for this. Nobody cared when they did it with Jordan Zimmerman when they weren't any good. But the whole world, the whole sporting world cared. GP, how many radio stations did you and I go on explaining to host after host after host after hot taker, yes, they're absolutely going to shut him down because it's the best medical practice that they have. They have a playbook that they've run before. It's medical stuff. It's not, you know, anything other than that. I mean, it's a very simple deal. They have this thing that they believe, whether they're right or not, time will tell, certainly, in terms of how he responds or the length of his career or whatever. But yes, this is exactly what's going on. They had a plan. They had a course of events. This is how they did TJ. They felt like they knew something. I'm sure they've, you know, updated and adapted and changed some things over time as they've gotten more data available. Mike Rizzo has said this. We've heard a couple hints at this. The key is as follows. There's just no data. There's just no precedent. They've got no roadmap, no potential, no milestones they're looking for, no tracker, no way to say this is working, this isn't working. They're just going to try a couple things and then wait a month. They're going to try something else and wait another 2 months just to see if he can pick up a baseball and throw it pain-free. That article in the Washington Post about how he can only be comfortable when he's lying down with his right hand pressed to his chest and he has to teach himself to do things left-handed did not sound like a guy that's going to be ready to take the ball at spring training to give you 180 innings. It just didn't. It sounded like a guy that's never going to pitch again.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I know nothing. I'm just a pudgy idiot that loves talking about sports and baseball. But you see enough stories, you read enough words, and again, those words of mystery and, you know, kind of we'll figure it out. Oh my God, does that sound like just an absolute yoke hanging around the neck of this team?
Yeah, if you guys want more intel on that surgery he had and on thoracic outlet syndrome in general, you should go back and listen to our podcast with Cole Henry. It was several episodes ago, going back a few weeks. But Darius, maybe you can give people the name of the pod that they can look up. But Cole Henry, who had the exact same procedure, came on and actually broke the news on our show that he was going to have that procedure. But he went into great detail about the recovery and how it all works. And it's available in our podcast feed here. So you should definitely go check it out. And Darius, when you find it, just let me know which episode that was. People can look up. But just search for Cole Henry's name in the podcast feed and you'll find it. All right, I wanted to go through some of the players on the team, Danny. And I wanted to play a little game called Yes, No, or It's Complicated. So we're going to run through the players, and this is a simple question. Should they be on the team next year? Yes, no, or it's complicated? And if we have a disagreement or if something's complicated, we can explain. But otherwise, we'll just keep it moving.
Let's go for it.
Cesar Hernandez.
No.
I'll say no. Lane Thomas.
Yes.
I'll say yes. Victor Robles.
No.
I'll say it's complicated.
I'm good. I understand your point.
I am too.
This is my weird cross to bear. I'm over the top on this. I have no patience left. The organization shouldn't listen to me here. Not that they should ever listen to me, but especially on this one. He makes me so mad. I'm so fed up. It lessens my enjoyment of baseball games, knowing that he's out there.
Knowing that he's about to get thrown out on the base path.
I don't know why he has this weird limp when he jogs. Like, everything about him. And he's a very nice dude.
You sound like a married man who now hates the sound of your wife's voice.
This is where I am with him. Every mannerism he has, every at-bat, everything he does bothers me.
Yeah, we talked a lot about him the last couple of weeks, so we don't need to now. But my it's complicated, as we've discussed, is only because you're going to have to find another really good defensive center fielder.
Yep.
And if you could do that, then you can replace him. And I would not be upset at all if that happened. I'm not married to him. I also am annoyed and would love for them to move on. But, I mean, there's some other things they got to do. Nelson Cruz.
No.
No. K-Bert Ruiz.
Yes.
Yes. Michael Franco.
No.
Well, he's out of the organization, I guess, anyway.
But
no.
but especially no again.
but especially no. Yadiel Hernandez.
No.
I'll say yes, whatever, 35. Now, you know what? You got DHs already. Uh-huh. You got Meneses now, and you got Luke Voit.
Great recommendation. Thank you for the time.
Luis Garcia.
Yes.
Yes. Joey Meneses.
Yes.
Yes. Ildemaro Vargas.
No.
Yes. He could give you some help in the infield off the bench, hopefully. I mean, he hit a little bit.
He could, and I'm a little too harsh when I say no. I'm looking to do better there. I want an everyday third baseman.
Well, I'm expecting they're going to, you know, be a 100-type loss team again next year.
If that's the route they go, then I change my answer to yes. I'm expecting a new ownership group to come in and try to make some endearing moves to make
people
excited.
I mean, the timeline's got to get going here.
You're right about that.
We've heard nothing. Like, Leontis' group or someone would have to buy the team probably in 2.5 months.
You're right.
And by then, free agency's already started. Luke Voit, I'll say
yes,
I guess. I mean, I would try to trade him, to be honest with you. But no problem if he's back. Riley Adams?
Yes.
Sure, why not? Backup catcher. Or even, you know, on the train back and forth to AAA, whatever you need to do.
Getting his miles up.
CJ Abrams is obviously a yes. Alex Call?
It's complicated.
I'll say no. I mean, you could find another guy like Alex Call.
Right. Alex Call will be available. You know what I mean?
Anyone else here interesting? I don't think there's anyone else kind of worth, as far as bats, worth discussing. Let's go to the pitching side really quickly. JoJo's a yes. Corbin's a yes for money reasons. Fetty?
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
I'm hoping he's their number six, their number seven.
Oh, geez.
You know what
great.
I mean? That's my hope.
That'd be great.
Sure to add it up, right?
He might start on opening night. Paolo Espino, I'll say no.
No. Good.
Cishek, no.
No.
Finnegan, yes.
Yes.
Erasmo, no.
No. I'll say it's complicated.
Okay.
I mean, you know, everyday Eddie, if he's my 10th bullpen guy.
Right. Yeah, I'm just worried that he's going to pitch 70 times and be a pitcher of the
again,
year
you mean?
Yeah. Carl Edwards, absolutely.
Yes.
Yoan Adon, yes.
Yeah.
Anibal Sanchez, no. Andres Machado, sure.
Okay.
I'm fine with him being like my seventh reliever. Corey Abbott, no.
Nope.
Victor Arano.
Nope.
No.
Hunter Harvey.
Hunter Harvey, hell yeah.
That's a hell yeah. That's a Stone Cold Steve Austin hell yeah.
43 punches in 38 innings. I'll bet he can pound some beer, speaking of Stone Cold. 33 hits allowed in 38 innings. Jordan Weems, yes.
Yes.
Rainey, yes.
Yes. Mason Thompson. Yes for me.
Mason Thompson, yes. Tatro, yes. Lee, yes. Cavalli, yes. Anybody else worth talking about there?
That's my list right there. I think you covered it.
All right, so that's just kind of a feel of where we're at on the roster. A lot of young guys get yeses, a lot of old guys get nos, pretty much.
that's your theme right there, right?